We continue our reading of the prophet Isaiah, coming to the great prayer from Isaiah 63:15 to the end of chapter 64. It really is one of the great prayers of the Bible, and it has features very instructive to us in our prayers, the features that are very common to the great prayers of the Bible. For one thing, Isaiah is going to pray to God on the basis of his character, because of his promises and the covenant he made with their fathers. This prayer, we can locate it, redemptive historically, as praying in light of the destruction of Jerusalem, which had not yet happened, but he has foretold it. And it's a prayer for God to come. Essentially, it's a prayer for Jesus Christ to enter into the world and be their Savior. And he rehearses here that although that they're way down the line and all kinds of things have happened, they remain the people of God. The word of God is to them, and they call upon God to fulfill it. And there's great pleas in this passage that should inform the fervor of our own prayers. Now, secondly, he utterly abases himself before God, not as some kind of technique in prayer, but because he is aware of what is simply true: the great sin of the people as they are looking to a holy God. In fact, a very often quoted and important statement is found in this very passage, verse 6. He says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." And many of us memorized that when we were younger, is a filthy rag. Many our righteous deeds. Very important. What he's saying is, it's not just that our sins are a problem, it's everything about us that's a problem. Even the best things we do are just polluted. Now, again, that's not just some prayer technique. It's to be the heart of God's people because it is true and because it is a great offense to the holy God. Let me apply it to our situation today. People ask me, do you think God will ever judge America? I almost don't know how to answer that except to say, what do you think has been going on the last 20 years or so? If we're going to assess it biblically, it's what it looks like. But how wrong it would be for us to pray to God and say, Lord, we pray for America despite those sinners out there and the materialism and the sensualism. No, it's not out there. We are part of it. We are bound up in it. We must pray, even as his people, with a keen lament of our corporate sin and the way that we ourselves are infected. We have become, Isaiah said, like a polluted garment, a filthy rag. It's the truth. You'll find the same thing in Daniel 9. You'll find the same thing in Psalm 51. This is the only way we can pray. But look at verse 8. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father." You don't get that language much in the Old Testament, but who is it that teaches us to pray, our Heavenly Father? And what a wonderful thing that the Lord's Prayer begins by a statement of the relationship that has been secured for us by Jesus. And what happens when a wayward child comes to a loving father, confesses his or her sins, and asks for mercy, asks for him to come? Well, the heart of the Father is moved. So it would be, for this prayer would be answered in the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 15 of Isaiah 63. "Look down from heaven and see, from your holy and beautiful habitation. Where are your zeal and your might? The stirring of your inner parts and your compassion are held back from me. For you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage, your holy people held possession for a little while. Our adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who were not called by your name. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our fathers praise you, has been burned by fire, and all our pleasant places have become ruins. Will you restrain yourself at these things, O Lord? Will you keep silence and afflict us so terribly? The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.